Please edit whatever you want. You can edit my dating part and edit any of that.
What are you talking about? Don't say that. Don't say that.
Isn't you just got funny, though? Well, yeah, I know, right?
Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference. Well, hello, hello. Melina Boswell here, New Wealth Advisors Club. And I am so excited today because what I have is girlfriends in the house. I'm so happy because this is the first time actually that we've done a podcast without Dave. Which is amazing, except for the time when some of the team hijacked our podcast and then neither Dave or I were here, but Dave or I have never done a podcast without the other. So today is a special day for me because it is all about girls. So it's about, and I say girls, but you know, women, girls, whatever. Girls. I think girls is fine.
I like girls too.
I like girls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have with me today Kim Jacobson and Christy Weber, who are both club members and girls flip houses too. And that's who they are. So they just closed on their first deal together. And yes, people, yes, they did their own flip. All on their own with Dawn Galdez. And Dawn, unfortunately, is not able to be here with us today. She was supposed to be here, but she's like giving a kidney, right?
No, she went to a wedding on the East Coast.
Yeah,
flying back today.
Oh,
she's that next month.
Oh, next month. Oh, okay, yeah. So I'm just saying she's just like, you know, it's kind of indicative of like, of who women are in general. So I wanted to, and I say that because, you know, Dawn really is donating a kidney to her cousin. And so, and just to sort of give the audience, you listeners, an idea of, you know, who these women are that I really have been trying to get in here together at the same time for months. And we haven't been able to coordinate it because, you know, they are such special women, right? And I think that's kind of the conversation of this podcast is women in the workplace, women as entrepreneurs, women in the marketplace, and not losing who we are as women. So I think it's important to just, like, acknowledge Dawn. She's at a wedding this weekend, but the last time that we were trying to get together, one of the times, I don't know, but we've just been having a lot of conversations that, like, that is sort of, to me, is, like, the perfect envelopment of who women are, right? So Dawn is, you know, this amazing entrepreneur. She is a hard worker. She is a smart worker. She also has that special uniqueness that I think that only embodies in women, and that is just the gift to nurture and to give. And so why don't we start today by, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to start with just let's share first of all about your deal. And then we'll talk about, you know, I feel like we could probably do an entire series on women in real estate, women in business, you know, in and of itself. We've already been talking about it. And the importance and the passion that both of you feel, that I feel too, of wanting women to know that they can be in business and flip houses too. So
absolutely.
Why don't you talk about, like, maybe, so Kim, this is your second time actually being in the podcast studio.
Right.
You were actually part of the hijack.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so why don't you share a little bit about, like, you know, we'll start with you, Kim, like when you started with the club, and maybe just share a little bit of your journey, and then we'll have Christy do the same thing, and then we'll talk about the deal, how we found it, and what we did with it. Cool?
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Great.
Go ahead.
So I have been with the club in December. It will be 3 years.
Oh.
And I think I shared this on the last podcast, but for me, part of why I chose to get involved in this career, this field, is because all these other jobs I had had, I have had amazing jobs. I've loved them. But as I worked my way up, it always felt like at some point I reached that ceiling and I couldn't go any further.
Wait, so you mean the glass ceiling is real?
I think it exists. I've hit it several times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. So for me, I always say it's kind of a blessing and a curse, but I just like to always have a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would reach these limits is what I felt. I just felt very suffocated and wanted to move to something else that was going to challenge me. So for me, I wanted to get involved with real estate where I could really go as far as I wanted to go, mm-hmm. and there wouldn't be a limit. And I could make as much money as I wanted to. I could really I felt see the fruits of my labor pay off mm-hmm. in a different way versus working for a company where the fruits of my labor pays off for them.
Right.
So that was huge. And then, you know, moved to Southern California from Northern California and by the grace of God found new wealth and just loved it. It was everything I needed to get this business up and running. And mm-hmm. like I know you've mentioned a lot, Melina, the relationships I made here. This is where I met Dawn. This is mm-hmm. where I met Christy. I've been able to do a number of transactions with you, and it's just mm-hmm. such a blessing to find women that can work as hard mm-hmm. and partner up and mm-hmm. stay the course.
Yeah, and not be catty and, right? Like, not right. scratch each other's eyes out because right. there's something, yeah. there's some stigma that goes with women in business. We were talking about that earlier.
Definitely.
Right? So, Christy, why don't you share with us a little bit about maybe your background, how you came to us, and how long you've been with us?
Well, I've been with the club about a year now. Uh-huh. And it was actually my husband who did the research. Well, taking it back about 6 years ago, I started working with my father, who started a business. And in the beginning, I was just getting involved to help him. And the more I helped him, the more I just started to fill the needs of the business. So I started to grow with the business. And before we knew it, I was helping my father run the business.
Right.
Which, I mean, just a side note, is a business that is very male-dominated.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And so being in that business really made me understand that just because I'm a female doesn't mean that I can't overcome some of the stereotypes involved in certain business. It was guns and ammunition, right? And it couldn't be more of a male business.
Awesome.
And quite honestly, when I got into it, I knew nothing about it.
Right. Wow.
But so I was with him. I started from the very beginning from the, you know, from the building. I mean, it was just an empty warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with that about, I'd say probably about 2 years ago. We got involved in some legal issues with the business. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I had worked for over those years had come pretty much to an abrupt stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of having a bit of a pity party, right? Because my entire life had revolved around this company.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get in at like 7 in the morning, and I'd leave at 10 o'clock at night. And then I'd go home, and when I got home, I'd start answering emails. So, I mean, this was my life.
Yes.
So when this came to a stop pretty quickly, I felt very empty.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was so used to being so busy and having so much work, that I really didn't know what to do. And it was my husband who was like, you know, you might want to look into real estate. And at the time I'm thinking about, you know, I should get my real estate license.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how, but he came across you guys.
Huh.
And he said, you know, let's just go check it out. Let's just go check it out. And so that's how I found New Wealth. And it's been a blessing.
Yeah. And so you're married for how long?
Oh, gosh. You're going to put me on the spot. This, in November, it'll be 17 years.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it'll be
good,
17
good, good.
Years.
That's awesome. And you have?
I've got two boys, mm-hmm. 21 and 24.
There you go.
So yeah, like the female, right?
Mm-hmm.
I stayed home and I worked prior to having my children. And then when my kids were born, I tried to work for about a month. And then, you know, the guilt kind of came in. And I'm
yes.
like, I need to be home raising my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, my husband's a firefighter. And so he had a job where I was allowed to do that.
Yes.
But the whole time I was at home with my kids, as much as I love that, mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, I'd love to be doing something else.
Mm.
And once my youngest one got into high school, which is when I started working again. And
yeah, I think that's an important piece.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
It's mm-hmm. it's an important piece, I think, of your story, because I believe that there's so many other women out there that can relate to where you are.
Right.
And, you know, the seasons that you've gone through and where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about the deal,
yes.
if we don't mind, and then we'll keep on talking girl talk.
Okay.
So tell me, first of all, like where did we, how did we find this this homeowner?
So this was a door knock. And
our first.
Yeah.
Our first together.
yes. I don't know that. Yeah. Our first, so I was coaching Christy And we went door knocking out in Costa Mesa and ended up it almost appeared that
we didn't door knock.
That she wasn't even, because the door was slightly open. No one came to the door. And as I started to push the door open, all of a sudden we hear movement. And
well, go back. Kim's like, you know what? The door is open. Because, you know, at first we're like knocking. I don't even think her doorbell worked, right?
No.
So at first we're like, you know, and we almost left, actually. Oh. And here's Kim, and I'm freaking out. This is my first time doing this. And Kim's like going around the side. They've got a gate out in front, and the gate's closed. And Kim's like, oh, the gate's unlocked. So she kind of pushes her way to the gate. And then
fearless.
Right? And then she's like kind of checking out, and I'm thinking, what is she doing? Right? What is she doing?
She's being unstoppable.
So then we go to the front door, and I think we were getting ready to leave Post-it. Uh-huh. And we realized the door was kind of cracked.
Yep. It was ajar.
It was. I mean, it was inviting me in.
And
it's
Kim's like,
let's just go find out what's
happening
here.
And Kim's like, I'm just going to go in there.
Right?
That's so great. I love that. That's so excellent. Then, yeah. So the owner came out, and we don't want to give up too many details,
right.
You know.
Right.
Personal details. But the owner came out. Is that right?
She did.
Okay.
She came to the door.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did what we do. We just asked her what was going on and how things were going. We found out she was working on a loan mod and had paid someone to do that. Mm-hmm. So that was
red flag.
A red flag for us. And here's what I think was great about it. Christy and I were talking about this earlier today. You know, of course, we have the knowledge and, you know, I know the questions to ask her and that sort of thing. But I feel like what made Christy and I a really great team at the door was Christy had been through this process before. Mm-hmm. So sure, I know the questions to ask her and how to get the information out, but Christy was able to explain to her, I've been there, you know, I paid people money or, you know, whatever.
Right,
and she really connected on that heart level mm-hmm. with the homeowner. And, you know, we knew from the get-go she wasn't going to get a loan mod. We knew she was
– because
– she had a 2% interest rate already.
Mm-hmm.
So it couldn't get any lower than that. And
her income was not going to change.
Right. No. Right. Correct.
Right.
So, you know, we looked at maybe bankruptcy. That wasn't an option because she didn't have any credit card debt. But even still, and, you know, we said, well, we can look at this. Can you pause that?
No, it's okay. That's so funny. So Kim.
We still needed to go through the process. Right, Kim?
Sorry, she dropped her headset. So anyway.
Wow. That was fun. Okay,
that was Dave's big head was in that.
Oh,
that's why.
Tighten this baby. Okay. But, you know, what was great is being able to say, hey, look, we might be missing something. We work with someone who's been doing this for over 20 years, and we would be more than happy to arrange a time for you to meet with Melina, who, you know, so she's awesome. She knows this business so well. So we can bring you to her and maybe she can see something we're not seeing.
Right.
So it was a great relief for us to take her to a certain point, but then have you bring in that credibility mm-hmm. and just like the closer to a certain extent or that one other expert that can say, yeah, you're not going to be able to keep your
right. house. Exactly. So we did that. I met with her and I was able to speak truth to her because you guys had done a great job at giving me the opportunity to open her ears to be able to hear what I had to say, which was absolutely the truth. So there isn't any game playing. There isn't any, you know, wordsmithing happening. Like the truth is what it is. And it's exactly like you just said, like income isn't going to change and payment isn't going to change. So there's no foreseeable opportunity for the circumstances to change. The bottom line was this homeowner was facing foreclosure and there was no remedy in sight for her. So realistically, what she needed to do was find a place where she could actually afford it because we knew her income wasn't going to change. And so we needed to help her to get there.
Right. And that was a huge piece of it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like so many homeowners we work with, the thought of losing a place that they've lived for so long, it's just overwhelming. And she had many other things going on in her life, of course.
Of course. They usually do.
Right.
And this was the home that she shared with her husband who she had lost. So she had a lot of emotional ties to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. That's a big deal. So we were able to eventually step in and we reached an agreement with her. right?
8 months later.
Yeah.
Well, if we could just back up just a little bit. I think that part of the puzzle piece to getting her to come to terms with where she was at mm-hmm. was Kim and I, we made it, every phone call we made to the bank or to Keep Your Home California or to the attorney that had taken her money to mm-hmm. do the loan mod, mm-hmm. it was always on speaker. Mm-hmm. So she had that, she was hearing it from that other person as well. It wasn't just Kim or I right. relaying the message to her. There wasn't any question there
yeah.
as to whether or not when we were relaying it to her, were we spinning it? You know, right. she was very, it took her a while before she'd trust us. And I think part of that was hearing that third person, that person that wasn't involved, because she had been approached by so many people
of
prior
course.
To us, right?
Of
They're
course.
Inundated with mail. Yes. They've got other yes. people knocking on their doors.
Yep.
And you really just don't know who to trust. She had been taken advantage of by this company.
Yes.
Who was doing business out of yeah. state.
Yeah.
And so every time we made a phone call, we made sure that she was in on the phone call.
That's
so that
important.
She could hear the same thing that yeah. we were hearing.
Yeah.
And she could hear it coming straight from their mouths. That way it wasn't us interpreting what they were saying, because anytime someone else is interpreting it, right, you always have to question, are they telling me the truth?
Absolutely.
I think that was important. Yeah. I think that ultimately also. And then again, like you said, bringing Melina in.
Huge.
Yeah, very, very important.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good insight. I feel like that's a $10,000 tip that you just gave, Christy, honestly, like because you're right. You shouldn't be offended if a homeowner is not automatically trusting you. Yeah. I've actually said, right. I've looked at homeowners who have said to me, I've actually had to say to them, you need to trust nobody. And I've actually said, don't even trust me.
Right.
Question me, like, you know, double check what I'm saying to you.
Right.
Especially when you have people that are in, you know, these kinds of circumstances, I want them to have like their people, you know, listen to what I'm saying, because if not, you know, that's the way that you build credibility and trust.
Absolutely.
And the reality is that we are doing the best for them. So we have nothing to hide.
Exactly.
You know, so, it is completely legitimate for them to be reluctant and skeptical.
Yeah.
Of course.
One of the biggest things I came up when I was going through the same process
uh-huh.
was we had paid money to somebody who obviously said that they would represent us on our behalf.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, don't call the bank.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't call the bank.
Right.
Don't talk to them. You know, after about 6 months of what's going on and still getting stuff from the bank, we called the bank, and the bank said, oh, we've never talked to them.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with Regina.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's very normal for that to take place. And, you know, the thing is that a lot of the perpetrators, they expect that you know, a homeowner is, they don't want to talk to their bank. So it's almost like, you know, music to their ears. They say, don't talk to the bank. The homeowner is like, oh,
yes.
No problem, right? I don't want to talk to them anyway. So that's why you can easily fall into that trap. The last thing you want to do is have a conversation with the bank that you don't know how to have,
right?
Right.
So that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. And the other piece real quick is we mm-hmm. definitely brought her family into the
yes.
conversation, because obviously it's going to affect them. And we
were very honest.
Yes. Yes,
with
such a big part.
With the girls who yeah. were younger, who mm-hmm. were going to school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
son the and the family. Daughter.
Exactly.
Yes, that's really, really key. It's a good place. So you guys did a great job. In my mind, this is the most valuable part of this business, and it's the part that nobody ever talks about. People want to talk about, you know, so how did you decide what paint color to use,
oh,
right?
That's all fun.
That's all fun. Yeah. That's all fun stuff, right? But that's not really
it's
where—
not the nitty-gritty.
No, it's mm-hmm. not. And that's actually not where the magic happens.
No.
And that's not the crux of the business. The crux of the business is exactly what we're talking about right now. And nobody, it's not really sexy, right?
No, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And it tugs at your heartstrings.
Yes, yes. And so, and I think that's an important piece of information to have, is that it does tug at your heartstrings. And the reason that it does is because you guys have both really sold out to the idea of stepping into the homeowner's world. Right, stepping into their world and being willing to serve them no matter what. And I know when this conversation with her first started, you guys were really, you know, if there was a way for you to help her to stay in that property, you would have.
That right. was the ultimate goal.
Absolutely. That was always the goal. And I know that to be the truth.
But then at some point it flips from wanting to help her to stay in it, to seeing that she is not going to be able to stay in it, and then not wanting her to get taken advantage of.
Exactly.
Right? Then being her advocate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to say it. Absolutely being her advocate. So so let's fast forward a little. And you guys ended up, she came to the realization and the agreement that she needed to sell. So you were able to go ahead and buy the house.
Yes.
And so why don't you tell us, you got a little creative because you had to get creative because there was equity in the property, but not a whole lot, specifically based on the condition of the house.
Right.
So the house was in major disrepair.
Yes.
Right? It needed a lot of work. And so, you know, that obviously has an impact on the fair market value.
Right.
Right? And which directly impacts the amount of money that she would be able to get, if any.
Right.
And she was also facing foreclosure.
Yes.
She had an actual trustee sale date, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you guys ended up buying the house for how much?
Well, we were able to do a subject to. So we acquired the property for basically $110,000. Okay. So that brought up the arrears of about $88,000. And then the only way that we were going to be able to allow her, or that we were going to be willing to purchase this house was if she had a plan to move out.
Yeah.
And actually more than a plan, like the actual lease agreement. Mm-hmm. So Dave was, you know, adamant about that, which was
awesome.
Yes.
It was necessary. Yeah,
absolutely necessary. And so, I mean, real quick, we had to spend a lot of time and energy just even finding a place for her because she wasn't even capable.
That,
she couldn't handle that.
That was a big challenge.
That was huge. So the $110,000 was not only to bring up the arrears, but to put down a 6-month advance rent for her, put down the security deposit, all that, and movers to move
so
her.
So that was another hat we wore was leasing agent.
Yes.
Right? Yep.
And movers.
And movers.
Even though we hired movers, you know, it was great to see other club members come out and help us move her. That's always.
We had to find her a storage.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For her.
Yes. Stuff. So advocate. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So we acquired the property subject to, acquired it for $110,000. She owed.
So you say subject to, that means subject to the existing mortgage.
Correct.
So it was a creative acquisition.
Yes.
So you took over ownership of the property.
Correct.
And, but you kept her current mortgage in place.
Yes.
And in order to do that, you had to bring that loan current, which was $88,000.
Yes.
And then you still had the first loan in place, which was how much?
Well, the total loan was $565. So, I mean, we paid, you know, about, let's just round it up, $90,000 of that. So the remaining balance was going to be $455.
Got it. Okay, good.
Okay.
And so then, then you came in, and after you got her moved and got her place, her stuff in storage, and then you started the rehab.
Yes.
So let's talk about, and by the way, there's this is when I remember we went over to the house, and I said to these ladies, if you haven't seen them yet, you'll see that the three of them are really beautiful. So they're not only beautiful on the inside, they are really beautiful on the outside. And I said, you know, you ladies need to really, like, leverage what you have. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with, you know, sharing your strength, your power and your beauty, and your intelligence with the rest of the world. So they have, they created a bunch of videos, which was way outside their comfort zone.
Yeah. So far outside their comfort zone.
Yeah, and I'm actually glad you're bringing that up because this, you know, Dawn and I have been working together 3 years and really working on coaching students. So we were the ones who said, let's just do this girls flip houses too. But then it was such an honor and privilege to have Christy be a part of this deal and such an amazing asset to our team. And even the Hemet flip that Dawn and I are doing, you know, there's a woman involved in that, you know, which we love. And it's not that we're anti-guys. We just love seeing women realize their potential and moving in that. But this whole video thing, you know, both Dawn and I especially, and I'm sure Christy is too, like Facebook, you know, it's a love-hate thing, right?
Totally.
Seriously, do I need to let the whole world know what I'm doing? You know, do I have to sell myself? And I think as women, we do have a harder time selling ourselves.
Oh, yeah. How many times do we say, okay, erase that? right? Because we're looking
start
at it
over.
Going, oh, yeah. Can you get it from the waist up?
Right. Yes.
Because you're so hard on yourself.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Or you want to wear workout clothes. But,
yeah, yeah. Like we'd get there and Kim would be like, we're going to do a video. Oh, well, I don't have on makeup today.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Guys don't have to deal with that quite as much as we do.
Absolutely true. And I think that's a very important piece. Like, these are the things that I wanted to talk about.
Right.
And I love that about you too, that you're just willing to be that transparent and that honest, because I am so with you. Like, I struggle with this constantly, so I know you do. That's why I could call you out on it.
Right.
Hey, you ladies need to do this. And it's uncomfortable. And, you know, and we were having this conversation before we came into the podcast studio. Like, what is it about women, right, that we still are? Like, I don't believe that the world hates women. I don't even think misogyny is that big of a problem. I actually believe that it's ourselves.
Right.